And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to have an edition of Secrets, and this is volume 137. So we do this once a month. So obviously, we've been covering this 137 months. You know, it's interesting. When I go back and I look at some of the older volumes of Secrets from years past, some of the information is just as current as, well, yesterday and today's news. It's an amazing thing, but God does seem to give us, as Christians, I believe, a warning. You know, it's like an earthquake warning. You know, you just feel things in the air. Things are imminent. And we don't always have all the answers, but it just seems that God has an early warning system in place for Christians. You know, I was in the Air Force for over 20 years, retired as an Air Force officer in 82, and I remember so often we discussed the early warning systems that the U.S. Air Force had in place to warn the people of America and its leaders in case, in the event of a nuclear or a missile attack. In fact, I was part of that early warning system. I was stationed overseas in missile warning squadrons and groups. And it was our job, our mission, in those super secret organizations, of which I can't reveal even a tiny portion of what I know, even to this day. But I will tell you this, we were able to detect when any missile, any intercontinental ballistic missile took off from the Soviet Union, or if there was a sea-launched ballistic missile, SLBM. So either an ICBM or an SLBM, we were able to detect it within moments of liftoff. And we were able to tell exactly where it lifted off from. The Russian base or the Chinese base. When any nation on Earth exploded a nuclear device, we were able to tell within a very quick moment in time. And then we sent that information on to the Pentagon, on to Strategic Air Command headquarters, NORAD, the North American Air Defense Command, and to the White House. So isn't it wonderful that God gives us as Christians an early warning system? And I'll tell you, it seems to me, I don't know how long it's going to be, but the world is in danger of imminent disaster. So many signs. We're going to talk about some of those today. The confusion of the world about the difference or the meaning of good versus evil, for one thing. People still haven't figured it out using their natural minds why some people are good and some are evil. We'll talk about that. In fact, we'll go all the way to the Garden of Eden and discuss it. Oil seems to go up, up, up. Well, it's, as I told you a couple of weeks ago, and by the way, we have those radio tapes, the two-part series I did on the economic downfall of America, part one and two. And when I came out with that, just a few weeks ago that we did it, so there, I mean, it's like brand new practically. And you'll know that on part two of the economic downfall of America, I told you the stock market was not going to crash. Yet. That's a big yet now, Y-E-T. I also told you that it will take some time, but even the real estate market would clear up. And as far as oil goes, we have plenty of oil in the world, but they're just hoarding it and hiding it from us so they can keep the price up. Scarcity drives up prices. I gave you the reason for the economic downfall of America, but I told you that it's been put on hold for just a short while. I immediately got some emails from people that said I was nuts. They said, Tex, the stock market is doomed. The real estate market is going under. Everything is gloomy and doomy, and what you said doesn't make any sense. Well, I open up the business section of my own local newspaper today and hear from the Associated Press. Dow's two-day rise, that's the Wall Street now, the Dow Jones average. Dow's 2 days rise, 546 points. Within a week of my broadcasting that, telling you, don't worry, the stock market is not going to crash. And getting complaints from people that said, Tex, you don't know what you're doing. Everybody's saying it's going to crash. We're headed for a great recession. The stock market lifted by 546 points over 2 days. And when I left this morning for work, it's up another 40 or 50 points, I believe. Markets post big gains as Fed officials hint at rate cut. Interesting, isn't it? Hey, I'm not telling you the economy is going to boom. I'm not telling you that the price of housing is going to go up another 15 or 20%. No, it may go down. I believe, in fact, that it will in most areas of the country. Nevertheless, they're not ready to pull the plug on things just yet. They're advancing way too far on the current system. If they pull the plug too soon, we're all going to be alerted. And this is a slow, gradual strangulation to the point where we're so weakened here in the American economy that when they do pull the plug, we have no strength with which to resist it. That's the plan. I hope you get that two-part series because it's just an amazing series. Now, I don't usually talk about the economy very much. I did so about a year ago, and everything I said came to pass. Now, in a few weeks, I'm going to have a radio program here for you, and I'm going to tell you why we have so much oil that the people of this earth could never use it all. There's so much oil, it's everywhere, underground. There's so much oil, it would last us another 1 million years. And I don't believe we're going to be around that long. And if we are, well, that's up to God. But what does it matter to you, dear friends? You're not going to be around more than, oh, I don't know. It all depends on the individual. But certainly 120 years would be the outside guess, wouldn't it? We're all put here to die in the flesh. And some of us will live forevermore in heaven, and some to everlasting damnation. Well, according to the USA Today, Wednesday, November 21st, page 3B, oil's new record has analysts puzzled. Prices reached nearly $100 a barrel last week, and the cause is unclear, says USA Today. Says the price of oil again set a record, easily blowing through the previous high earlier this month in a move some analysts said was absurd because there was no solid supply and demand reason for it. Very overdone, commented Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wachovia Bank. Fundamental reasons for oil's increase? I don't see any, says James Williams, economist at WTRG Economics. Oil going up to $100 a barrel, almost. But the economist is saying we don't know why. Excuse me, dear friends. I think there's a word in the Bible, five-letter word, G-R-E-E-D. I think that pretty well tells the tale, doesn't it? Oh, my. Hey, I'm working on a new book now, and I'm not going to give you all the inside of it, but I'll tell you, it is a blockbuster. I'm more excited about this book than any book that I think I've ever written. Really excited about it. And one of the features of it is an exposé of where the Illuminati meet and what kind of mysterious architecture they're responsible for, maybe in your backyard. Certainly, every time we turn on TV and watch the news, you're going to see some of the mysterious Illuminati architecture. See, I can be mysterious too, can't I? I'm not going to tell you all about it, but certainly is true. The elite have their gathering holes, their gathering places, castles even of darkness. A few years ago, I visited the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. Amazingly, this mansion, I didn't get to see it all. There's some rooms they won't even let you into. But it took me all day just to see what I did. There's over 250 rooms in this mansion. How would you like to live in a house with 250 rooms? Well, I don't think I would like to. It gets a little tiring, doesn't it? Going, just going from one side to the other. I don't know. How would you do that? I believe that this mansion is a world headquarters for Illuminism. In fact, there was a room there that had a large plaque on the wall just before you entered it. It was called the Assemblage of the Gods. Huh? The Assemblage of the Gods. And, of course, this led me to researching who built the Biltmore Estate. I found out, of course, it was the Vanderbilt family. Mr. Vanderbilt, they called him the Commodore or Cornelius Vanderbilt, what was a magnate of railroads. He was a railroad baron, and at one time he was the richest man in America, and now the Vanderbilt heirs still have great wealth. But as I researched the Vanderbilts, I also found out that, well, it seems that Mr. Vanderbilt, who had a particular virulent hatred for biblical Christianity and never much darkened the doors of a church, nevertheless funded some very odd groups, and he was members of some strange secret societies, one of which was called the Lotus Club of New York City. In fact, one of the mansions that he owned in New York City became the headquarters for the Lotus Club. And, of course, you know how Tex Mars is. I'm just born with a curious bent of mind. So one thing leads to another. So we go from the Biltmore Estate with its strange, large, temple-like room with these giant tapestries of satanic principalities and powers, such as the gods Pan, Zeus, and Poseidon. Chairs, 13 chairs, in fact, of ornately carved wood. 13 chairs. And you know, that's the same number needed for a witch's coven. And it was called the Assemblage of the Gods. And then I researched the Vanderbilt family, one of the time the richest person in the United States. And then I find out he was a member of this Lotus Club and one of its funders and founders. And then come to find out Mr. Cyrus Scofield, who gave us the Scofield Bible, which really pushed the envelope on Zionism, promoted the idea that after Christians were raptured, the Jews would then rule the world. Mr. Scofield also was a member of the Lotus Club, and there was another man named Samuel Untermyer, who was a member of the Lotus Club, which, by the way, still exist. Oh, there are many secret societies beyond the Bilderbergers and the Skull and Bones and so forth. Mr. Untermyer was the gentleman of the leader of Zionist organizations in America. He was from New York City. Also did some research on his mansion. And today, it's a public park, the mansion of Mr. Untermyer, but it's also the place where the Son of Sam and his satanic sect would meet, sacrifice animals and perhaps human beings to the devil. Untermyer Park in New York. But back to this Lotus Club. Lotus, of course, is a sacred flower in the Hindu religion and has to do with goddess worship. And oh, there's so much more, but you'll just have to wait for my book coming up in a couple of months entitled Mysterious monuments. Well, have a good friend of the ministry. I hope he is. Michael wrote me a letter, and he had some questions. He has some conflicting beliefs, and he asked me to help him out, and I don't mind at all helping people when I can. He said, Mr. Mars, you seem to be very much opposed to the Catholic Church. Well, he said, I remain a Catholic because of all the information I have learned from the Marian, in other words, of Mary, apparitions of the 20th century, such as at Fatima, Portugal, and Bayside, New York. It seems that this Mary tells the truth, says Michael, because often the Mary that has come in these apparitions has spoken of communism and Freemasonry spreading their errors throughout the world. So here's my dilemma, says Michael. If the Catholic Church is evil, then how can Mary be telling us the truth in these apparitions? Well, Michael, that's a very good question. First of all, again, we go to the Holy Scriptures. What do the Holy Scriptures say about familiar spirits? Isn't that what Mary is? Of course, I believe Mary is a saint. She herself declared in the Bible that Jesus was her Savior. And so I believe you and I will be meeting Mary someday in heaven if you are a Christian, a born-again Christian, born again in spirit and in truth, which has nothing to do with the Catholic Church or the Pentecostal or the Assembly of God or the Lutheran or any other church, but it has to do with whether you have repented of your sins and cried out, begging and imploring Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And he, being faithful and good, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, the Apostle John told us, and I believe him, and the other apostles said similar things. But one thing we know for sure, we should seek Jesus Christ and know familiar spirit. You see, I don't pray to the Apostle John. I don't pray to Peter. I don't pray to Mary. But, Michael, do you? You're listening to these Mary apparitions. Well, can they be speaking the truth? Well, you know, always Satan comes with a mixture of truth and lies. How else can he deceive? A mixture. And this is the poison that enters men's hearts. Now, I've written in my book, for example, Mystery Mark of the New Age. I talked about the Mary apparitions. You'll want to get a copy of Mystery Mark of the New Age. That was just one of the many subjects I talked about. Satanic symbols and all kinds of marks and signs. But one of them is the sign of Mary, who comes in the sky and seems to be speaking to people. But what is she saying? I quote one of the Mary apparitions for Germany, where she tells people that if they want to go to heaven, they'll have to take a mark in their forehead. Huh? Michael, are you listening? Taking a mark in your forehead? I think Revelation 13 says something about that. That the Antichrist, the beast 666, will require everyone to take a mark either in their right hand or their forehead. And here's Mother Mary telling everybody to take the mark. Now, about this time, many Catholics will say, well, that was just one Mary. Well, which one are you going to believe? The Mary from Portugal or New Jersey or New York, or maybe one that comes to your bedroom tonight while you're meditating to her, praying to her? Let's see what the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy chapter 18 is an amazing chapter. Listen to what God tells the people of Israel. And we are the Israel of God today, all who believe in Jesus Christ. It says here, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Don't learn to do after the abominations of the heathen religions, God says. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, that's astrology, or an enchanter, you know, like Harry Potter stuff, or a witch, again, Harry Potter, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's a person who carries on communications with the dead, a necromancer. And a consultant, or a consulter with familiar spirits, would be the same thing. I was flipping TV channels the other night, and they have some program where some gal from, I think it's from Great Britain, and then they have a man named John Edwards, two different programs on television, very popular, and they speak to familiar spirits. And people in the audience ask them questions, you know, my mother died, what does she want me to know today? Oh, I hear your mother right now. Oh, yes, she's in this room, and she says blank, blank, blank. Baloney. But anyway, even if that were true, even if the woman is talking with a spirit from the dead, what does God say about it? Abomination. Well, I don't care what he says. I'd rather talk to my dead aunt. Oh, well, go ahead. And the devil sends a lot of familiar spirits, demon spirits. You're not talking to your aunt. You're not talking to your mother. You're not talking to your late sister. You're talking to devils. Mary up in New Jersey says a lot of things I think sound pretty good. Oh, she warns people even against cardinals who are homosexuals. Catholic cardinals, that's what Mary is. People say, well, what's wrong with that text? Hey, I don't need some spirit named Mother Mary to tell me about homosexuals among the Catholic priests. And by the way, there are, I believe, is just as many homosexuals in the Protestant ranks as there are in the Catholic ranks. And I've proven that right here on this radio program. Does the name Ted Haggard, head of the National Association of Evangelicals, of late come to mind, dear friends? The point is, verse 12 goes on to say, of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive thee out from before thee. Verse 13 says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Wow. These are an abomination. You don't do these things, because the devil will counterfeit familiar spirits. I'll never forget one of the most chilling experiences in my life happened in Houston, Texas. I was speaking at a prophecy conference, and I was in the lobby of this hotel, and a lady comes bustling in there with her boyfriend, as it turned out. She was about 40 years of age or so, and I was talking with some Christians there, and I was just fixing to go in to speak in just a few minutes, and they were asking me some questions. There must have been, I don't know, I'd have to ask Wanda, but if I recall right, maybe 10 or 15 people crowded around me. And I see her out of the corner of my eye, and I see the desperate look in her face. She opens the entrance doors of the hotel, and she comes bounding up to us, and she said, is this the place where they're having the Prophecy Christian Conference? Well, she just interrupted us all. But I wanted to be nice to her, and I stopped what I was saying, answering a question, and I looked at her, and I smiled, and I said, yes, ma'am, it is. Have you come for that conference? She said, yes, I have. And I have a question I need to ask. Are y'all all Christians? We all said, yes. She said, well, I need help. Well, what a place to come. Because the people that were at that conference, I mean, we believed in the Bible. We believed in Bible prophecy. And we were there to expose the New Age movement and the occult. That was what my talk was about that day. She said, I want to come back to God. I need God. I need Jesus in my life. Before I could say a thing, she says, do any of you know about these Mother Mary apparitions? She needs Jesus, and then she wants to know about Mary, the apparitions. And I said, I know about them. How can I help you, sister? She said, well, she said, this is my boyfriend. And she introduced him. She said, we've been living together, and we know we're in sin. She admitted it right in front of us. We know we're in sin. And we want to return to God, and we don't know what to do. And I told my family, we're Catholics, we were raised Catholics, and I told my family I wanted to return to God and to Jesus, and they said, oh, wonderful, you need to come back to the Catholic Church. So many good things are happening. Did you know Mother Mary is coming back in apparitions in Portugal and in America and in Yugoslavia? This is a wonderful time to be a Catholic Christian because Mother Mary is meeting our needs. And the lady told me, the desperate woman, she said, does anybody know about Mother Mary and what she's saying in these apparitions? And I looked at her and I said, sister, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the Mary in those apparitions is a demon. Well, the lady screamed. She screamed and she fainted dead out. She fell to the floor. Well, the people there were surprised. They revived her and got her up. And in her tears, she told us all when she was revived. She said that, oh, by the way, I forgot one key part. When I told her that, she looked at me and said, how do you know that? That Mother Mary, these Mother Mary apparitions are from devils. How do you know such a thing? And I said to her, Deuteronomy 18. That's when she fainted. That's when she fell out. That's when she screamed and fell out. When she came to, she told us that she and her boyfriend didn't know what to do. Should they go back to the Catholic Church? They didn't know. That night before, they had decided that they would pray about it. Friends, when you pray, things happen. Here was a couple who were living in sin but wanted to do right and didn't know what to do. They got on their knees and they prayed. And they said, Lord Jesus, reveal to us what we should do. And she said, as we were praying, Brother Tex, a voice came in my mind. It was almost like it was audible. And the voice said, read Deuteronomy 18. That's what the voice told her. Read Deuteronomy 18. Well, there was a problem. She didn't have a Bible. Like so many Catholics, they don't promote the Bible. They don't really believe that's important for the Catholic faithful to read the Bible regularly. She didn't even have a Bible that she owned. But she knew that was from the Bible, Deuteronomy 18. She told her boyfriend, tomorrow we've got to find some Christians who will tell us what to do, and they'll have a Bible probably. We've got to go to a church or go somewhere where there's Christians. She said, we opened up our newspaper and there was a small ad. And it said, you're invited, free, Bible prophecy conference at this hotel. She says, and I told my boyfriend, we've got to go there. And here we are. And here I come in the door, ask you about Mother Mary, and you say Deuteronomy 18. And that's what God told me to read last night, Deuteronomy 18. So, Michael, what more do I need to say? Read Deuteronomy 18. And that's from God. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about Admiral William Fallon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They say that George Bush and Dick Cheney are crazies. And he's the head of our forces over in the Atlantic and in the Middle East. And we've got a lot more for you when we return here on Power of Prophecy. What is the awful truth of the Bilderbergers? Well, a man named Daniel Estulin, a reporter, has written a freelance reporter, because I'm sure that no news agency is going to hire him after he's written this book, has written an incredible book, 340 pages. It's entitled The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. Daniel Astulin is his name. I hope to have him here as a guest on our radio program. But this is the single best book I have ever seen on the Bilderbergers. I saw this book advertised on the internet, and I ordered a copy of it, and I thought, well, this will be just a, you know, it'll be nothing. It'll be a Kool-Aid book. Hey, not so. Mr. Astulin does a tremendous job. It seems that he has been investigating the secret societies for over 14 years. He's a European journalist. And this is the first book ever published to be so comprehensive. And really, I think it's only the second book ever published on the subject of the Bilderbergers. Find out about David Rockefeller, why he's guilty of treason. That's right. And then there are all the others, the Rothschilds and the others who meet secretly once each year. You'll also find out about other secret societies, such as the Skull and Bones, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. This is an outstanding book, and I want you to have it. I promise you. The book is nearing with photos and documents. It's got quite a few photographs because Mr. Estlin took pictures of those people going in and out of the hotel and the conference rooms. And just amazing information here. Now, you got to have this book, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. It's almost 400 pages in its entirety, and it's $25. Add $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $29. I don't know if you're going to be able to get this at bookstores, because this is one they're going to try to hide from you. It is available on our website. You can go to powerofprophecy.com and get it, or conspiracyworld.com and order the book. It's right there on our homepage. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, $29 postpaid. Use your charge card. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or our regular line, if you can't get in by a toll-free number. And our regular phone number is area code 512-263-9780. But again, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Now, you can write to us and send us $29 and say, Tex, send me the Bilderberger book, or the Bilderberg book. Of course, the full name is The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. But if you just ask for the Bilderberger book, we'll make sure you get it, okay? And we have enough copies right now. It's in, and we'll, within a couple of work days here, we will have it right out to you. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group by Daniel Astulin. Our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the United States of America. And, of course, when you order anything from us for any amount, we're going to give you our free newsletter, a free subscription to it. Okay? Absolutely free. If you're already getting our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, well, every time you order something, we just renew your subscription. You can stay on our subscription list indefinitely just by ordering something every 6 months. You can't beat a deal like that, friends. Only salvation is free. And then, of course, our newsletter as well. But we do require something. We require a purchase every 6 months. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. We're talking about Secrets, Volume 137. Hey, Admiral William Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N, is a man you need to know about. Now, Mr. Fallon, Admiral Fallon, is, I believe, a genuine American hero. He's commander of all the Middle East, Navy Admiral. And evidently, it is Mr. Fallon, Admiral William Fallon, along with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who were defying George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and their insistent demands for a nuclear attack on Iran. Now, my understanding is that on September the 6th, Admiral Fallon was given the order to use nuclear bombs and destroy much of the infrastructure and all of the military and communications of the nation of Iran. Now imagine, we have not declared war on Iran. Our Constitution says we must declare war before we engage in war. Our Constitution says nothing about preemptive war or a secret surprise attack. You know, all of my life, I've been told about the dastardly surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. Only monsters would do such a thing. A surprise attack. But here, evidently, Admiral Fallon, our Middle East commander, was told to attack Iran. Do you know how many tens of thousands of innocent people would be killed by nuclear bombs or even by conventional munitions if he had done so? Now, we all know about the B-52 bomber that was carrying six cruise missiles armed with live nuclear warheads August 30, and it flew from northern United States into Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. Friends, I want you to understand about that. That wasn't an accident. They don't just take six cruise missiles armed with live nuclear warheads, fly them around the United States, and without doing all the paperwork. I know, I was an Air Force officer for over 20 years, and I can tell you right now, we guard those things. We guard those things very, very meticulously. Now, I'll tell you what really happened. My understanding is that Admiral Fallon and some of the military brass had said, we're not going to bomb Iran. Well, Dick Cheney and George Bush, as supposedly our commander-in-chief, and what a crud he is. What he did evidently was get with some lower level subordinate commander in Iraq and make plans to go ahead and bomb Iran from an air base perhaps in Saudi Arabia or Iraq. And they were going to do this without Admiral Fallon's knowledge. In other words, they were going to bypass the chain of command because Admiral Fallon wouldn't go along with him. Those six nuclear-tipped missiles were scheduled to be used against Iran. But when Fallon found out about it and some other military officers found out about it, being heroic Americans who understand the Constitution, they said, we're not going to violate the Constitution by obeying an unlawful order. You see, in the military, and I've taught this, the Uniform Code of Military Justice to Air Force ROTC students, I told them very specifically, they could be tried in a court of law if they violate an order from the president. But at the same time, they have no obligation, military people have no obligation to obey unlawful, that is, illegal orders. If somebody tells me to murder somebody, I'm not going to do it. If somebody tells me to rob a bank and I'm an Air Force officer, I'm not going to do it. It's got to be a lawful order. If I'm told as an Air Force officer to assassinate a political leader, say, a John F. Kennedy, I'm not going to do it. So these military officers, including Admiral Fallon, well understand they were within their rights as officers, and they cannot be court-martialed for doing what's right. On the other hand, if disobeying the Constitution, which is the law of the land, they had obeyed the unlawful orders of the Vice President Dick Cheney, a 33rd degree Mason, or George Bush, a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, if they had disobeyed the Constitution and without a declaration of war, actually used nuclear bombs, they would be held guilty. Their hands would be stained with the blood of the Iranian people. And they could be tried on the order of Nuremberg war crimes trials. Well, Time Magazine reported something very interesting. Time Magazine columnist Joe Klein reported that military intelligence sources had told him that Bush had requested a strike against the Iranians and that all of the military brass had unanimously opposed the attack, and that Admiral William Fallon, who was is the CENTCOM Mideast commander, being opposed to this nuclear attack on Iran, was, quote, determined to prevent an attack on Iran and was prepared to resign if necessary. Well, praise God for heroic military officers. Evidently, Fallon said there will be no war with Iran while I'm here. And then he said, quote, listen to this. This is what Fallon was quoted as telling a military general friend. Quote, there are several of us who are trying to put the crazies back in the box. End quote. Can you imagine? Admiral Fallon says there are several of us, in other words, several generals and admirals, who are trying to put the crazies back in the box. Who are the crazies? The neocon Jews behind Bush and Cheney. And they don't give a hang nail for the U.S. Constitution. But Admiral Fallon does. Is he going to be punished? Yeah, he'll probably be fired surreptitiously, forced out. But so what? He did his job. He obeyed the Constitution of the United States. You see, as a Air Force officer, as a young lieutenant, I stood and I raised my right hand and I took an oath. To the President of the United States? No. To the Constitution of the United States. There's a difference. Yes, I agreed that as an officer, I would obey the orders of all those appointed over me. But not if they disobey the Constitution. That's when you tell them, not no, but you know what, no. I wouldn't have said that, but maybe something sort of like it. Okay? All right. Here's a person writes to me. Robert wrote me an email, subject of Israel. Why does your ministry hate the Jewish people? The Bible tells us whoever hates Israel, God will destroy, and whoever blesses her, he will bless. Well, you're right on that second point, Robert. And I've already said on this program today, we are, according to Galatians chapter 4, the Israel of God. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 29, that all who believe in Jesus Christ are the seed of Abraham. That's a spiritual seed. And that's what the book of Genesis talks about. If you're the seed of Abraham, then whoever blesses you, God will bless, and whoever harms you, God will harm. Believe me, he will curse. But you've got it all mixed up. It has nothing to do with the physical seed. Doesn't have anything to do with the physical race. See, you're just a racist, Robert, and you don't even know it. You're a racist. You're a bigot. But God says whosoever will may come. Now, whosoever will, does that mean only the Jews? No. Does it mean only Gentiles? Of course not. Robert, get it in your head. The spiritual seed is the only thing that counts. Had a pastor wrote to me, said, well, Tex, I realize there's a spiritual seed of Israel, but there's also a physical seed of Israel. Yeah, so? And really, you need to pay more attention to God's chosen. God's chosen. I keep saying this, and I had to write back the pastor, pitiful as he was in his theology, and ask him, if the physical Jews are God's chosen, what are they chosen for? Well, he wrote me back. He says they were chosen to bring forth Jesus. They were chosen to bring forth the Bible. And I wrote him back and says, and did they not do it? Because that was determined by God that they would do so. But they were also fated, that is, prophesied by God. The Jews were to be cast out of the kingdom. That's in the Gospel of Matthew. The Jews were determined by God prophetically that their house would be made desolate. That's Matthew also. It was determined by God that the Jews would someday reject Jesus Christ. And only a few, only the remnant. And the apostles, some of the apostles were, of course, that remnant. Peter, Paul, others. Only a remnant would find Jesus. But see, isn't that the wonderful news? God opens the doors even to Jews who rejected him, so that a remnant may believe and be grafted back in. What a wonderful God we serve. By all indications, the Jews don't deserve to be let back into the kingdom. They don't. But, of course, Tex-Mars didn't deserve it either. It was by grace that God said, Tex-Mars, I knocked at the door and you opened it and I came in to live with you. You didn't deserve it. No, you're a worthless worm, Tex-Mars, but I chose you. And that's what he does to any Jew who will accept him. And by the way, that's true of any Mexican that will accept him, any black man, any Chinese person, any Scottish person. What a great God we serve. The Jews don't deserve him, but there's a remnant that he will take anyway. Now, is that hate? Is it hate to say that God loves all people? That he died for all of us? And yet some choose to perish. It was God who says, choose whom ye will serve. Thank God there's some Jews that say, I choose Jesus. They're my brothers and sisters. Now, Robert, is that hate? To tell the truth about the Jews and the Gentiles? Now, it's interesting. Robert doesn't mind me saying bad things about America and our imperialism and our president, George W. Bush. He only gets mad when I say something about the Jews. I have all kinds of things criticizing my own country, America, that I love dearly. I'm a patriot of. I spent 20 years in Air Force Blue. And nobody better tell me I'm not a patriot unless you want a big punch in the mouth. Well, I say things like that. I really wouldn't punch you in the mouth. In fact, I'd probably feel very bad if you said I was not a patriot. I'd just walk away disappointed in you. Sometimes I'd like to punch a person or two, but no, not really. God takes that out of your heart, you know. One of those instant thoughts that you also instantly dismiss because it's just dumb to do. Well, in any case, Robert, I wouldn't punch you out either, but I'll tell you something. Do I hate the Jews? I'm not going to answer that. You know, I'm not going to dignify that with a response. I've already told you what we believe. What we believe is that we need to expose evil. We need to unmask the evildoers. If they're a Jew, do it. If they're a Gentile, do it. And you don't mind me exposing the Gentiles, Robert, but you just don't want me to expose the Jews. Well, isn't it wonderful that Jesus himself told the Jews of his day, you're of your father the devil? And I guess, Robert, Jesus was a Jew hater, according to you and your standards. Isn't that odd? Isn't it odd that you would accuse the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles of being Jew haters? Because they said a lot about, read what the prophet Elijah had to say. What do you think Moses said when he came back from the mountain with the tablets, with the Ten Commandments, and found the people in apostasy, having a heathen celebration? Why, before he even got there, he knew what they were doing because he heard the music. And I'll tell you something, friends, music tells you a lot about a people. Think about American music. Wow. Before he ever got down to the camp, the Bible says Moses heard the music. He knew what was going on. They were doing some devilish things down there. And friends, all you have to do is turn on the radio and turn on about 29 of 30 stations and you listen to the music. That's all you need to know, that it's the devil's work. And by the way, I'm talking about music from Jews and Mexicans and Americans and blacks and everything else. You know that. You know it's true. Okay. The dollar continues to dive. Boy, what a plunge, the dollar. Woo. Amazing. Every time I open up the newspaper, the dollar's gone down further. I think there's going to be a little respite here for a while. You know, they're going to sort of save it for a little while so we won't be too alarmed. And then it'll begin another downward climb. Or I should say, incline. What's the reason for the dollar's fall? Well, remember the AMERO, the North American Union, the year 2010? Scheduled? Oh, yes. They're preparing us for the new currency. And when the time comes in 2010, they believe we'll be clamoring for the new currency. Our dollar will be of almost no value, and we'll all say, oh, give us a new currency. That's their plan. Here's somebody who wrote to me and said, Dear Tex, what do you think about the Jesuits? What do I think about the devil? Well, he asked me the same question. The Jesuits is a secret order of the Catholic Church. It's both public and secret. And the Jesuit is an order that's spread throughout this globe. The Jesuits worked with the Illuminati and the Masons even to found America. And believe me, the Jesuits are a powerful order. Today, the Jesuits and the Zionists work hand in hand. Of course they do. A kingdom divided cannot stand. And so Satan's kingdom is made up both of Zionists and Jesuits. But there are other Catholic orders. There's the Knights of Malta. There's the Legionaries of Jesus. There's the Dominicans. They were one of the groups that really did horrible damage to true Christians back in the days of the Inquisition, the Dominicans, as well as the Jesuits. So, the Jesuits, of course. And then this same gentleman, Ross, asked me, have you read the book Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy? And have you read the book Vatican Assassins by Eric Phelps? First of all, F. Tupper Saucy, in his book Rulers of Evil, which exposes the Jesuits, outstanding book by Mr. Saucy. I highly recommend that. Probably ought to offer it in the ministry here, but we have so many books and we offer so few. As far as Vatican Assassins, that's a hokey book. It's really not worth your money. I offered it for a while to people here in the ministry. I understand it's out of print now. Vatican Assassins by Eric Phelps, it's a bunch of baloney. I read the book. I offered it because some people said they'd like to have it. But really, it's not a very good book. I think most of it's hokey. I don't think Mr. Phelps knows much of what he's talking about. I would not read Vatican Assassins. Rulers of Evil, absolutely read that book by F. Tupper Saucy. Great book. Exposing the Order of the Jesuits. And you know, I tell you, Mr. Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, is such a good book. I reread it again recently myself. And I'm going to be doing some exposures in coming months of the Jesuit order. So many people have asked me to do that. They want to know about the Jesuits. And I'm telling you, you go all the way back to the days of the Carroll family. They founded Georgetown University. Mr. Carroll sold the land on which the city of Washington, D.C. sits. That's what a powerful, rich family the Carrolls were. And by the way, Washington, D.C. sits right there on the precipice of two states, Maryland and Virginia. Maryland, of course, was named after the Virgin Mary, and Virginia also was named after the Virgin. That's why the Virginia Mary. And Mr. Carroll had a lot to do with that, he and the Pope of Rome. So we're going to be discussing the Jesuit order, a secret tool of Satan, as well as the Knights of Malta and other Vatican groups in coming months. So watch for that, would you? Okay? All right. What do we have next? Hey, got a picture in the Austin American Statesman of a 40-mile stretch of Texas I-130, the new NAFTA superhighway coming in. The Trans-American Corridor. This is an amazing picture. Maybe I'll put it on our website and on our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. But here's some interesting things. Evidently, this superhighway is being built through Texas by a foreign-based corporation called Cintra, that's C-I-N-T-R-A, Zachary. Cintra-Zachary. Cintra-Zachary. This is now, again, this North American Union superhighway, all the way up from the coast of Mexico, going to go all the way up the United States through Canada. And here's a picture of it. But here's some details about it. Evidently, according to the contract that Cintra Zachary made with the state of Texas to build their part, the state's part of this highway, they agreed that another highway, I-35, Interstate 35, that goes from Texas all the way up through the United States, all the way through Minnesota. You know, one of those bridges in St. Paul area up in Minnesota failed not too long ago of I-35. They've agreed that Texas will reduce the speed limits on I-35. The state of Texas agreed in the contract they would reduce the speed limit on I-35. You know why? Traffic will then have to go very slow on I-35, and people will get sick and tired of going so slow on I-35. And just a few miles away, running perpendicular to it, or is perpendicular, is that same? Yeah, vertical, up and down. Okay. Is the new I-130, the superhighway of the North American Union. So people are going to get all bogged down on I-35 because they're going to reduce the speed limit, and that's going to force people to go pay a toll to these foreign multinational corporation people so that they can go a little faster on the toll road, the North American Union highway. Amazing, isn't it? Wow. The state of Texas is going to force people off the highway. In fact, in Austin, Texas, they're going to make highways already existing. They're going to make them toll roads. So you won't have any advantage by going on other roads. They're forcing you to go on the North American highway. Oh, our great leaders. Hey, who really rules America? Well, Vanity Fair magazine seems to know, and they've just published a list of the top 100 people who have the power in America. We're talking about bankers. We're talking about publishers. We're talking about celebrities. Who are the people who seem to have the power in America? The top 100. Guess what? Jews occupy 53 of the 100 in Vanity Fair. Think of it. Jews constitute, according to demographers, only about 2% of the American people. 2%, but 53% of the most powerful people in America, according to Vanity Fair, are Jews. In fact, Jerusalem Post on October 11, 2007, heralded this list and said in a headline that Jewish power dominates. They're admitting it now. They used to say, no, it's not true. Only you conspiracy mongers say such things. We poor Jews, you know, we're always so persecuted. But now they're admitting it. That's right. We have the power. Jewish power dominates, says the Jerusalem Post. And of course, Vanity Fair is another Jewish publication. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Secrets, Volume 137. And tune in each week, dear friends. Each week during the same time on WWCR and on streaming audio on our website, powerprophecy.com, and discover the power of prophecy.